numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you take it to sin. We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D in downtown Las Vegas. Numbers game presented by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, America's number one nicotine pouch. Find out more at Zyn.com. Kelly, I haven't read any tweets today. Should I read some tweets?
We get tweets.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Oh, by the way, Iga.
Actually, I don't know if we had.
What's that?
Have we gotten tweets?
We have had tweets, but I just haven't read any. Iga Swiatek, by the way, world number one, has tweeted out. A teary-eyed Iga Swiatek attended a Taylor Swift concert. She said, I'm dead. Yes, I cried many times during the show. Yes, it was incredible. You are amazing, Taylor Swift. She's weepy, holding a handwritten note from Taylor Swift. Boy, she loves it.
Oh, greatness recognized greatness, right?
There. Just why I mentioned it. Are you a Swiftie? Is that what just happened?
You have no idea
what that is, do you? We get tweets.
I know what it is.
We get actual tweets. T-Bro, I honestly think Hungary finishes last in the group. He disagrees with Paul Carr. Remember Paul Carr? Who did he have last in that group? Was it Poland?
Yes.
I believe so. Speaking of Iga.
Assuming they're in the same group, then yes.
He said Scotland will likely grab a point versus Germany today, and Switzerland is never an easy task for anyone in a tournament. Scotland may struggle to score, but they will sit 10 behind the ball and make it difficult. I might not be right about Poland,
by the way. We call it a Scotland draw today? All right.
Jay Dem said, talk about the Celtics.
I had one on that.
Said, Celtics are really good. I think they would beat every team potentially out of the West or East. They haven't even played great offense against Dallas and are still up 3-0. Shows their margin for error. Hope you heard our historical analysis on this Celtics team a little earlier, where they rank. Kevin Ryan, I'm not sure if Kevin is being serious or not. He says, Gil, when factoring MVP, Brown is the clear winner, hence the minus 280. Whenever they show the players talking and game planning, he's the clear leader on the floor, and that will push him over the top in the voting. So I'm not sure if he's being serious or not by that.
You know, the real tough part for me on Jaylen Brown is I was that guy who was like defending him forever, and then finally you just had to stop because there was too many like successful years and he'd have terrible playoffs. I feel like I've gotten off the Jaylen Brown train like a year ago, and now I can't be the guy who comes back and like he's awesome, he's amazing.
By the way, I was wrong. It was not. No, I was right. It was. Well, Poland was in Group D, so maybe. And who did? So he was talking about a different group entirely.
That's what I said. Yeah. As long as they're in the same group,
sorry,
man, I don't
I missed
remember.
That. Kane, give me Ukraine and Czechia. He says to win it all. I can hedge later. Larry Fresh says the beer theory. Apparently, they took a beer away from Luka at some point, and they haven't won since. I don't know.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was a thing.
That's a thing. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, not only did I run into this gentleman some time ago, about, I don't know, estimate like 6 weeks ago, randomly, but so too did Kelly. It's our old friend Matt Lindemann joining us to talk College World Series, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Matt these days, of course, Assistant Director of Trading for The Win, and you can follow him on Twitter at Lindetrain, L-I-N-D-E, train. How you doing, Matt? What's happening, man?
What's good, guys? It's been a while.
Yeah, man. Funky, fresh haircut. Where do you get your haircut around here?
I got a lady named Barb, actually. My barber is named Barb, and she cuts my hair down at Ashton Classic Barber here on the west side of town. So, yeah. Try to look fresh for you guys. You know.
Wow, nice plug there.
He's got a barber named Barb.
Barber named Barb.
That wild, yeah.
He's got a plumber named Plum. He's got all kinds of things like that. All right, College World Series. Now, let's put our cards on the table here, Matt. You're from Kentucky, aren't you?
I am.
But you have no Kentucky bias here. Let's just establish that at the beginning.
Well, I do have a future on them. I decided around April it was time to probably come and jump in. They started the year, I think, in the 100-1 range, and I ended up getting 50-1 once it was pretty clear that they were going to be a contender. So, yeah, I have Kentucky and I have Texas A&M 15-1 as well. So those are the two teams I'm rooting for. Kentucky's definitely one of the better teams in this field, but I think you probably have to give the nod to Tennessee and Texas A&M as the two best teams in this field. So we'll see how it shakes out. I know there's going to be a lot of blue in the crowd, a lot of Kentucky fans invading Omaha for the first time. So it should be exciting to watch and see how they do.
If someone was landing on this right now, I understand you have Kentucky and Texas A&M, but if someone was landing on this right now, what would you recommend it an outright based on the line?
I think everything is pretty much gone at this point. Yeah. I mean, if you want to really force a play, I don't know. It's really tough. This is a really balanced field. I don't think Tennessee is head and shoulders, you know, better than everyone, but they do have a little bit of an edge. I think that whole side of the bracket's really tough. So, you know, I could see any of those four teams coming out of that side. I think Kentucky's side is a little bit easier. I would probably give the edge to Texas A&M if they had stayed healthy, but they lost their star hitter Braden Montgomery last week, and then they lost a pretty key reliever this week as well. So a little bit tougher for Texas A&M without those two guys. But, yeah, this is a really great field. I mean, when you have Florida coming in and they're basically the long shot of the field, they were probably a top five, top 10 team preseason and one of the most talented teams in the country. I mean, this is definitely a year where it wouldn't surprise me at all if any of these eight teams won it.
Any of those eight teams. You know who's one of those eight teams, Kelly? Florida State.
That's right. Let's go, Noles.
750, baby. Let's go. We have better numbers than that, too. Your point is well taken. At this point, all the real numbers are gone. Any one of these eight teams, four SEC, four ACC. Let's look at these one at a time and see if you would recommend a play on any of these, because we do have lines now for all four game ones, if you will, but in the College World Series bracket, they're referred to as game one, two, three, and four. Virginia, North Carolina, Matt. Carolina, slight favorite, minus 131. Any bet on this?
Now, anyone who has a bet and doesn't have numbers at this point in the season is just full of it, in my opinion. So I'm just going to be straight with you. I could come up with some narratives and tell you that you should play this or that, but I made this game, I think, Virginia minus 101. So with the current number, I want to say it's, what, minus 130, even money right now. There's just nothing out there to play, to be honest with you. I think if you looked at the total, I made the total a little bit lower, but these are probably the two best offenses we have in Omaha, so I'm not necessarily running to bet under. I think we got wind blowing in a little bit today, and I know it's a pitcher's part to start, but I'd say if I had to do anything in that North Carolina Virginia game, it would probably be under. My number is right there on the side.
Right there on the side. Okay. What about Florida State and Tennessee? Tennessee, the short shot to win it all. They're minus 165 in this game against the Seminoles.
This is one game that was actually kind of interesting. I think if you look at Florida State, they're very top-end heavy with their rotation. They have arguably the best pitcher in Omaha in Jamie Arnold. So you look at Florida State staff, they really fall off a little bit once he's gone, once he's already been used. But that first game, I think you can probably target them. I want to say maybe do the run line since you've got a low total there. You could bet +1.5. That'll cover you in the bottom of the ninth or extra innings in most situations. But I would lean towards Florida State today, and then I would probably look to fade them tomorrow as you get into the back end of their pitching staff. Some guys that aren't quite as solid. I know they've suffered a couple injuries in their starting rotation. So, yeah, I think Florida State's a play today, and then maybe look to fade them tomorrow.
I ask you this as knowing that you work at the Wynn, but what book or books would you say has the most robust menu for the College World Series, generally speaking?
You know, I actually want to give DK a lot of credit for what they've done with the college baseball this year. I want to say it's not easy to originate games every single day for 4 months straight, but they've done a really great job. And I don't know if you guys know how the market kind of works, but a lot of the feed providers for these other books in other states, they take the feed from DK. So DK creates the market for just about everyone. So I have to give DK credit. They're the first ones to come out most of the time. In terms of margins, I think Circa is really the only one that you can say puts up a consistent product with sides and totals, but also offers a reasonable margin. So definitely have to give Circa some credit because almost everyone has 15, you know, minus 115 both ways, 30-cent lines still this time of year, which I think, you know, you want to do that in February or March, that makes sense. But we're in Omaha now. We got eight teams left. I think we could probably lower the margins a little bit. So definitely have to give Circa and DK credit for what they've done in the college baseball this year. And I think all the other books are still working to maybe catch up a little bit. I think this is a newer sport, so give them some time, and hopefully next year they are a little more consistent with what they're offering.
That is very magnanimous of you, Matt. Very well said. It sort of begs the question. I'm sorry to even ask this, but I think I'm supposed to. At Wynn, not in the, you know, not something that you can influence more?
So we have the feed. We have a feed for college baseball ourselves, which comes, like I said, from the DK lines. We do have better margins, but there in Boston is absolutely no interest in college baseball. We just don't get any handle. So we do have it up every day. We've got 20-cent lines for the most part, or 4.5% margins. But we don't get any interest. The biggest bet we took all year was Kentucky last week, of course. And our biggest liability in the futures is Kentucky. So I don't know if I'm doing that great of a job booking everything. We're always rooting against my boys. But, yeah, there's just not all that much interest at this point.
Nah, it's such a great point, though. There are such regional interest and lack of interest that we don't often get into. But that is definitely one of them in that corridor of the country. All right, last two games here, then. If you have any thoughts on your Kentucky squad, a minus 145 favorite over NC State.
Nah, this is a tough one. I think I made Kentucky, I want to say minus 130, minus 135. So it's another one where the split is pretty much straddling my number. You know, I think Kentucky's got a little bit deeper staff in NC State. If they were playing NC State in game two or game three, I would probably have a play on Kentucky. But Sam Highfill for NC State, he's pretty good. And he's been in Omaha before. I know he pitched pretty well a few years ago when they made it. So I really don't have anything there. It's probably my lowest total of the four games. But, yeah, there's just nothing. I'm really curious to see how Kentucky handles the pressure and handles all the fans being out there. Definitely a unique situation for them.
All right. And then lastly, and I know, and I'm understanding we're trying to squeeze out any value we can find, but A&M minus 180, Florida plus, I don't know, it depends what kind of line you have here, but I'm seeing plus 143 where I'm looking on the comeback.
Now, I've got two numbers. I've got one number that's just my regular number, and then I've got one that increases the strength of schedule for each team so I can see if I put a higher weight on strength of schedule. And Florida's a really unique case where they've got really strong strength of schedule. They even have stronger strength of schedule than the other three SEC teams in this. So they're a team that if you want to ride the recent hot streak they've got and you want to take into account strength of schedule a little more, they might be worth a play tomorrow against Texas A&M. So I would probably lean towards the Gators in that one.
Matt, great talking to you, man. Thanks for making the time.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
Matt Lindemann, everybody, on A Numbers Game. Stormy Bonatoni on the other side on the UFL Championship next. Grown-worthy dad jokes to patching up skin knees. Your dad is one of a kind. Kelly's particularly one of a kind. This Father's Day, give him a gift that's guaranteed to take him to his happy place. Omaha Steaks. Packages starting at $99 when you go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code VSIN at checkout to get $10 off your order. Show your dad the love he deserves with a gift as unforgettable as he is. Visit omahasteaks.com and use promo code VSIN. Check it out. It's a proper characteristic of your proper characterization of your dad, right?
Yeah, he's got no problem getting to his happy place.
I won't even. Ladies and gentlemen, she is the host of the Lombardi Line, which she does with Michael Lombardi weekdays here at the network. She is also a sideline reporter for the UFL, and she knows her hockey. And we talk to her about both sports here right now. It's Stormy Bonatoni, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Stormy?
What's going on, guys? I mean, very easy for me to join the show with a smile after that one-liner from Kelly getting us going. That's what I'm talking about.
Kelly's full of one-liners. It's fantastic with the one-liners. Let me ask you about hockey first, because we haven't really talked about it this morning. Like the NBA, we have a 3-0 series. Florida on the doorstep of sweeping the Edmonton Oilers. Edmonton obviously will have something to say about that. And although it's not quite as fait accompli, that's French, Kelly. It's not quite as done as it is in the NBA, because the NBA, it's never happened where a team has come back from a 3-0 deficit in a best of seven. It is still very rare in hockey as well. Anything in your observation that tells you that Edmonton has a puncher's chance here?
Well, I mean, they certainly have fight, right? Florida has a 4-1 lead yesterday after the second period, and Edmonton claws back to bring it back within one with 5 minutes to go. But it's too little, too late. And I appreciate the optimism that Edmonton has shared, right? You hear Stuart Skinner after the game saying, if anybody can do it, I don't know the stats about a team coming back, but if anyone can do it, it's the Oil. And Chris Knobloch saying that they've showed that this is a team that they can beat. And I just ask, where? And I tweeted about this morning as well, because you look at them being down 0-3 in the set right now. They have not won against the Panthers in the regular season or postseason, outscored 21-8 in those games. This power play that is supposed to be the best in the world for the Edmonton Oilers, 0-10 in this series, 0-22 against the Panthers PK on the year. And I struggle to feel as if they're a team that's built to claw back into this. And maybe if they're players who have been the best goal scorers throughout the course of the year were stepping up, then I would feel a little bit differently. But the fact that you have the five top goal scorers where only Connor McDavid among that group has even scored points in this series. I think it's a massive concern. And I loved the Florida Panthers coming into this series, probably so much so that I got a lot of hate on social media from all of the people saying, what are you talking about? Edmonton's built for this. They're finally ready. I know that the country of Canada would love for that to happen. I just find it very, very hard to believe. And I think Florida's just that good. What do you guys think?
From our very educated observation, it just, for me anyway, it just seems like earlier in the series where, you know, Edmonton was staving off all of these power plays and they had this amazing streak going of having done so, I think it was like 34 in a row, and then Florida scored on the 35th. Obviously that extended well before the Florida series. I just felt like it was, I compared it to a soccer side in an international tournament where they kind of knew the other team was better, but if they got that first goal, like then they would sort of try to hold on for dear life, and it just hasn't happened. And they had a Bobrovsky problem until last night, until the, you know, the third period. And so it was as simple as that until that last night. And so I'm wondering, like, was that just enough to give them the proverbial confidence enough to fight on, as you say? I don't know. I mean, it's down 3-0. And while, again, while it has happened in the NHL, it's certainly a historical anomaly as well.
So. Got to be better, yeah, Stuart. Got to be better.
Yeah. You got to be better. And, but if, to your point, though, about them gaining confidence, I actually wonder if it could be the opposite effect, because you have two games now where you are in a position to where you would think that you should win and you don't, particularly game one. I feel like that was such a missed opportunity. But then you look at game three last night where you outshoot the Panthers. You have a guy like Warren Fogle who gets things going for you. McLeod gets a goal, another goal from your blue line, and you lose the game. I actually come from that from the standpoint of maybe this is just that demoralizing, right? You know, like, and you get to Stuart Skinner, but how much, because he comes up so big in the clutch at the end of that game. That slide that he had late was unbelievable. I think that it might actually be more demoralizing than confidence.
I asked this of Chris Felica earlier, so please don't think this is directed any way at you. I'm always curious. Chris Felica has come on this show, and we've talked literally 11 different sports with betting over the years. And he, like, I've asked him to rank them, and like horse racing for him, if he only had one that he could deal with for the rest of his life and he would never be able to watch another sport, for him, it's horse racing. Is hockey that sport for you?
Absolutely. I love this sport. And especially if we're talking like games that you're able to watch in person, I don't think that there's anything like hockey, especially at the level of the NHL. The physicality that these guys play with, and the elegance to an extent as well. I don't think you realize how difficult truly this sport is until you see it in person. I don't know if you're coordinated on skates, but I am not. And the power with which these guys can skate, hit the hell out of each other, and still be able to have the handles that they do with the puck. And it's one of the most impressive physical feats to me. And you also think about, like, we talk in football, how it's like a car crash every time that you're in these games, right? How tough the hits are in that sport. If you look at the sports science and stuff like that, the miles per hour with which these guys are getting hit are even more than we see in football. These guys are battered and bruised. And I know, for me, when I was covering the Golden Knights as their ringside reporter, I think about a guy like Alec Martinez, who played throughout the majority of the playoffs on a broken ankle, and he's still playing. The toughness these guys have, the grit, it's just different than any other sport I've covered or watched.
Have you sat in the circus seats right behind the goal, by the way?
I have not, but when I worked for the team, I was about 20 feet away from them where my position was in the games. And so I would always like wave to Banksy and wave to Derek Stevens and stuff. They're a great crew.
It's they were kind enough to invite many of us to one of those games. And just the pucks coming at you, just an amazing vantage point. I don't want to assume, are you on the UFL broadcast this weekend?
I am not. Unfortunately, Fox has the rights for the championship this year, so my ESPN ABC season is done.
Okay. Well, that said, you were a keen observer of all this. By the way, congratulations, because I got on my feed, too. You called a first touchdown on the broadcast, and then it happened. People were pumped about that.
Yes, I have peaked as a sports betting broadcaster. I called a 15-1 touchdown for my favorite first touchdown prop of the game. And the very next play, Seosi Mariner ends up catching a slant and running it in. Unbelievable. Nothing like that will ever happen again. So I've just got to soak in my moment while I have it.
All right, here's the question. Did the play-by-play guy acknowledge you immediately?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Drew Carter. He's a baller. He said, Stormy's going to cash it right now. COC Mariners. Great.
Because I would have hated for that to have been lost on them, right? Okay, so this is actually, I guess, by UFL standards, this is pretty dramatic. Stallions and Brahmas in the championship. As Stormy said, this is on Fox. The Birmingham Stallions, who are 9-1 this year, their only loss to the Brahmas. This is dramatic. Birmingham, though, is a 3.5-point favorite. The total is now at 42. How do you see this, Stormy?
Yeah, so I do feel like this is still Birmingham's game to lose. They've been the best team all season long. I'm fortunately in a position where I have futures on both of these teams, so I'm just kind of going to ride it out from that standpoint. I feel like it's the Stallions. I like them minus. I would like to see it get back to -3 if we can, but I like them laying the points here. I'm actually looking more toward the prop market, to be honest with you, and they do have an expanded prop market available here in the postseason, whether it be, like we were just talking about, first touchdown scorers, additional players that are available for these props, where it's usually throughout the year only been like two or three guys in each category. But a couple of things I am looking at. I love Brahma's running back, Anthony McFarland, to go over 37.5 yards. So the other running back, John Lovett, his number is significantly higher, even though I think McFarland is the better back. He's coming off a 115-yard game. He had 82 yards that first meeting against Birmingham. Only played 5 games this season, and he's gone over this number in 4 of them. So I really like that. And Adrian Martinez, despite getting pulled last game, is going to start for the Birmingham Stallions. But Matt Corral is expected to play. And so with that in mind, and Adrian Martinez, for as great as he's been all season long, he's the league MVP. He has really struggled recently. So I'm looking at like all of his unders, basically under 175.5 yards under his pass attempts. I wish that the interception prop was a better price, because he does have 3 in the last 4 games, including one against San Antonio. And I think that's very much so in play as well. But I'm coming at this more from a prop standpoint, just because of my futures bets I already have.
What are your numbers, by the way, Stormy, on the Stallions and the Brahmas?
Numbers for?
For your futures bets. What odds do you have of that?
I have +200 on Birmingham and 12-1 on San Antonio that I bet before the season.
Oh, wow.
Well, Birmingham, I bet in season, but I was telling everybody while Birmingham was plus money to bet it. And I don't know why people weren't listening to me. I tried to tell them.
Well, Brahmas beat the Stallions 18-9 in week 9, which I guess is 3 weeks ago, 18-9. So, that's that. That was the one loss for the Stallions this year. We'll see how it shakes out. Those are your prop bets. Stormy, thank you very much. Appreciate the time.
Thank you guys so much. Talk to you soon. Have a great day.
You too. Stormy Bonatoni, host of the Lombardi Line, which, of course, is weekdays, not right after this show, but an hour after this show.
Killing it. Great stuff.
Each and every weekday here at VSiN. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten. Wouldn't be a Friday without Jason Weingarten from Under Cloud of Smoke. Everything he's betting on. See what's happening with him. And we'll close it out with our NBA thoughts as well. Not much in game 4. But I don't know. We can talk more about this MVP. Coming back, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We are this close to crowning an NBA champ, but with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code VSIN, that's code VSIN, for new customers. Get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We'll get to the NBA Finals once again, a little later on, because there's some other prop markets that we want to update, and you have bets going on them as well, right?
Yeah, I got a pretty big sweat on Tatum to lead the series in rebounds.
Yeah, we'll update all that coming up on the show as well. Update at the U.S. Open, round 2, Pinehurst.
Update me, Gil. I'm in straight easel mode over here. Computer's dead.
Patrick Cantlay, still your leader, hasn't teed off yet today after his 565 yesterday. So he's got the 1-stroke lead over Aubert, Ludwig Aubert, who has not teed off yet either, who shot the 466 yesterday. Rory has since birdied since the last time we brought this up. So remember, he had given 2 shots back. Well, he has made up 1 of them. So he is 1 shot back for the tournament at 4-under as well. The big mover of the day at this moment is Xander Schauffele.
Yes, man.
Xander Schauffele, 3-under for the day, 3-under for the tournament. He is 2 strokes back, along with Bryson DeChambeau, who, since we last updated this, bogeyed and birdied. So he's back to 3-under, 2 strokes back of the lead as well. So those are the big names. As far as Scottie Scheffler, Scheffler remains at 3-over for the tournament. He is struggling.
I think we just want him to get in the clubhouse at this
point.
Yes,
we do. He's 2 over for the day, 3 over for the tournament, through 13 holes of golf today for Scottie Scheffler, the world number one.
Yeah, just get in the clubhouse. I think we'd be okay at that number. I think this afternoon might be brutal out there.
Projected cut is right at 3 over. So yeah. He is inside the cut line currently.
I don't think there is any way the cut line moves closer to even par. I think if anything, it goes longer this afternoon.
So I would agree.
If he gets into 3 over, I think agree. We're safe.
As long as he doesn't deteriorate.
Yes.
I would agree. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. That's the Progressive Guest Line. It's Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going? Taylor Pendrith actually has the low round of the day now. Just breaking news for you.
Oh, that's right. He just went 4 under? Yes, just went four under. And he is 3 under for the tournament, 4 under for the day, as Jason said. So he is 2 back as well. The Canadian with currently the low round, although Xander will have something to say about this in his final 5 holes as well. But those are the low scores. You have any bets on the U.S. Open, Jason?
Minimal stuff, you know, a little live top 10, top 20, nothing I'm pretty excited about yet. I did go to the U.S. Open last year. I just got to tell you, the merchandise tent at the U.S. Open is such an insane experience. You have to see it for yourself. Like, they do more sales per minute, per square foot than I think any, you know, Super Bowl or World Series. It's just the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Not quite as active as the Masters thing, but that's a whole different category.
That's what I was just going to bring it up. Matt was talking about
never
the Masters.
I've never been lucky enough to go, so I couldn't compare it. But I mean, the amount of just people buying stuff, I was amazed. And then I bought like $500 worth of stuff too.
Well, that's the thing. And I'm like you, I've never been fortunate enough to go to the Masters either, but I went to the U.S. Open when it was in the Bay, when it was at the Olympic Club, which I want to say was 2012. Don't hold me to that year, but it was in San Francisco. And I had the same experience. I remember going into that tent and there were so many people buying stuff and it was so outrageously expensive. And that demographic, price is no object. They're just like buying everything in sight. It's amazing.
Yeah, but it is like, I get it. It's a once in a lifetime thing, right?
Yeah,
like
that's right.
You have no problem paying 3 times what you would normally pay for a polo shirt.
Yep,
that's right.
I got one of those polo shirts you speak of.
Yeah. All right, Jason. Among the many things, well, first of all, you have on the ladies' side, you do have a bet that you'd like to share with folks.
I mean, I have Grace Kim. She's tied for the lead. You can get her like 20-1 still right now, but I don't know if she's going to win. There's, you know, five ladies, 6 ladies, 1 shot off the lead right now. So,
but tied for the lead at 20-1 currently.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad. It's something to look forward to this weekend.
Grace Kim on the LPGA side. Okay, we talk about many things with you, but probably first and foremost, we talk about Major League Baseball, and specifically Major League Baseball's futures market. You had an observation on them this year.
We're a blink of an eye, we're back to Aaron Judge being a 125 favorite and Juan Soto being 5.5-1. Like, I don't know. I still think Juan Soto is the MVP of the Yankees, but I totally understand that Aaron Judge is Aaron Judge, and you know, I'm totally wrong about his foot injury too. He might run away with this again, but I can't keep wrapping my head around this idea that Juan Soto isn't the guy that changed the Yankees this year, not Aaron Judge.
And that's so true, and that gets back to the age old discussion that we always have across sports, which is, you know, handicapping the voters and what will matter to them. I mean, and I guess from a baseball standpoint, you know, we talked about this. I guess the first time this came up, it was like in the early part of the last decade where Felix Hernandez won a Cy Young by winning 12 games. That was like a shift where voters finally got that wins and losses didn't matter as much as other things. With this, though, with MVP, is it as simple as these guys are just going to be intoxicated by who hits the most home runs?
Aaron Judge hitting 60 home runs is Aaron Judge hitting 60 home runs. It's sort of similar to the American League Rookie of the Year with Luis, is it Hill? We're calling him Luis Hill.
Luis Hill, yes.
He's minus 185 for Rookie of the Year. I think that's insane. He's 27 years old. We're what, just over a third of the way through the season. I just don't understand how you could possibly get minus 185 from a guy whose projected ERA is like 3.7 for the rest of the season. He's projected for 170 strikeouts. I mean, those numbers are good. That they're not going to win you a rookie of the year. I mean, like, I keep just trying to beat this home. Spencer Strider had like a 13.9 K to nine and a 1.83 FIP and didn't win. Like, Luis Gil is not winning rookie of the year. Laying 185 is insane. I think this is a wide open market. Plenty of opportunity here.
Yeah. Porina, every time you bring up the Spencer Strider stats from last year, I just a little tear drops down my cheek. Back to the Judge thing, because you made it easy by saying if Aaron Judge hitting 60 home runs is Aaron Judge hitting 60 home runs, and I agree with you. If he hits 60, it's probably not even a conversation. But what if he hits, you know, a much more tame 56, let's say? Like, does it become that, you know, that much of a done deal at that point?
Probably. I mean, if the Yankees in first place, I don't see how it.
Even if Juan Soto is just like filling up every other category, right? I'm talking it out, but I think you're right. I think that's the point. I think it's that simple. And your best advice, and let me just give you a shout for this, is because I brought up Jose Ramirez about 3-4 weeks ago and said, this dude is still 25-1. He was just absolutely the straw that stirred the drink, to use Reggie's phrase for the Guardians. And you were right. You it's just like, you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if someone in pinstripes is going to be the best player in baseball, and in their case, the best two maybe, it's just not going to matter. And that's just how it works.
He's 27-1 now.
Yeah. Well, we're showing 22-1, but yeah, you're right. As long as 27-1. So anyway, any other market like a Luis Gil where you're like, that guy should not be this short?
Well, the thing with the American League Rookie of the Year is that you got like Mason Miller as the second favorite. I don't think he's going to win either. Like, I think Luis Gil or Hill and Mason Miller at these numbers, like, it's insane. Like, I don't know if it's going to be Jackson Holliday or Wyatt Langford, you know, or one of these guys even farther down, but it's going to be somebody that's not a pitcher throwing 130 innings, you know, or a closer for the Oakland A's. I just think that's crazy. Like, it could be Colton Cowser. I don't know. He's still 17-1, but this market needs a little more analyzation from me going forward, because I think there's plenty of money to be made down the board here.
Yeah, it seems to be a lot more reactive than it used to be. Let's put it that way, on one night's results. By the way, I did jump in on the Braves to miss the playoffs. I know we have it on a mythical bet here, but I did bet it myself, plus 750. They still have a nice little edge in the loss column. Do you, you know, plus 750, would you have bet it?
Yeah, it's a good number still. Yeah. I mean, a lot of baseball left to be played. But can I just tell you the NL Rookie of the Year market?
Please.
I still think the top of the board, the pitchers are backwards. Skeens is not going to get close to enough innings to win this award. You just got to throw him out now. Yamamoto, plus 340, should be the favorite, not Imanaga. They're going to flip. Farther down, Jackson Merrill, 30-1. Andy Páez, 75-1, I think is his number, blown back out. He hit a home run last night. He's still playing pretty well. I mean, look at his numbers over the last month. Merrill, future superstar, I think. He's playing pretty well. Hit a walk-off home run this weekend. If a pitcher is not going to win, Merrill, Páez, those are guys I'd look at the numbers right now.
10 seconds. Anything you bet today?
No, not much, actually. I've been getting ready to watch the U.S. Open, see if I can jump into some stuff there.
Fair enough, as they say. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it, man.
Pleasure. Talk to you guys later.
Jason Weingarten. At Spreadopedia. We'll talk NBA on the other side, Kelly and I. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Scheffler, who just hit it out of the dirt and rolled right back to him?
Yeah.
Wonderful. We're this close to crowning an NBA champ. And with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSIN. That's code VSIN for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Be smiling.
Two best players in PGA Tour really struggling to get out of this this little waste area. Shoffley just did the same dang thing.
Did he really?
Yep. He at least got his on the green, and then it rolled back down.
We get tweets. We get texts. Chris Felica, the Bear, who was just on the show, he texts. He goes, He says, yes, your memory was correct. It was Olympic Club was 2012. And no, you will never be allowed on the grounds of Augusta National. He adds, activate the trap door at the entrance gate on Washington Street, please, if you would. If I ever showed up there. It's the Hootie bit. Never gets old. We get tweets also. This is from Phil Weiss. Phil Weiss, who finds himself always disagreeing with Jason Weingarten, he says, will wonders never cease? In principle, I agree with that genius, Jason, on the Soto judge thing. I got to stop listening. Because he thinks he's becoming now agreeable with Jason Weingarten, so it's bothering him.
Gotcha.
Phil's very, he's never.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Stephen Bates, Phil was the guy who said the Warriors were the least beautiful thing in basketball, so you have to understand. That will always be his one shining moment when he had that tweet. Steven Vegas, I noticed you didn't mention WNBA star among the many job duties. Has anyone ever seen Stormy and Cameron Brink at the same time in the same place? I don't know if Stormy likes that comparison or not, but they are.
I don't really think about that. They do favor
each other.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. NBA, game four tonight, NBA Finals. We talked about this to start the show. We put the Celtics in historical context. And I mentioned, I know we're a betting network, it's a betting show. If there was ever a time where, if you said to me, all right, what's the one time of the year in any sport where you would actually probably recommend not betting something, it's probably game four of an NBA Finals where one team is up 3-0. And it's just so difficult to gauge motivation and the headspace of a team like the Dallas Mavericks. Are they going to fight on tonight and really put out a great performance? How are the officials going to react to Luka's whining? Pardon me. Are they going to be more sympathetic to his complaints? Are they going to be less sympathetic to his complaints? Or the Mavericks just lay down? So all those things in the mix, it's just at, you know, it's essentially where the Mavericks are a 1-point favorite now. The total's 211.5. You know, look, if you bet and win, good for you. It's just not one of those that I would recommend necessarily. I made the case earlier for NBA Finals MVP that while I think Jaylen Brown ought to be a slight favorite, I don't think he should be nearly minus 280. And I think Jason Tatum is probably mispriced at plus 250, going back to our voter conversation that we just had with Jason on a baseball from a baseball standpoint, but also from a basketball standpoint. What will NBA Finals MVP voters be wowed by? And we went through the stats, games 1, 2, and 3. It's kind of a wash, with the exception of shooting percentage, shooting efficiency, where Jaylen Brown is far better than Jason Tatum. I just don't think voters care about that kind of stuff in the same way that we might. So for me, while Jaylen Brown might be a slight favorite, I don't think he should be minus 280, and I think Jason Tatum might actually represent value. You have some bets in some other prop markets that are still alive here, Kelly, yes?
Yeah, I was going to update kind of where series stat stuff is at for anybody who bet on those, although it looks like DraftKings might have pulled those markets. They were up this morning. Maybe I'm just not finding the right thing. Anyways, we're just going to update those. I do have a bet on Jason Tatum to lead the series in rebounds. He is one whole rebound behind Luka Doncic, so I will be sweating that out tonight. And then this one was
all those big guys on the court for both those teams. Those are guys leading rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, it's so many minutes, and think about the big guys, right? The big guys are always in a rotation, right?
That's right.
It's Lively or Gafford on off the court. Porzingis obviously got hurt. And Horford's going to be, you know, at least kind of limited in minutes. So that race, yeah, it was Tatum. It was Luka favored Tatum, or Tatum favored, and then Luka right behind him when that opened up. I liked Luka there, so I will be sweating that out today. That is actually my biggest bet of the series. That's on the series at least. The assist one is interesting. I caught the odds earlier at DraftKings at least where Tatum was a dog to Luka. I think it was plus 105 on Tatum, and Tatum has a 4-assist lead over Luka Doncic going into this game tonight. So that's going to be, man, if anybody's got assists, that could be a sweat. That could be a sweat for you tonight, although I don't know that I'd hate betting Jason Tatum at plus money with a 4-assist lead right now.
Because Tatum had 5, 12, and 5.
Yeah, I mean, obviously 12's an outlier, but it's not crazy. To ask him to get 5, 6 assists is not asking that much out of Jason Tatum. So then you're talking you need Luka to hit double digits. I don't know, I'd probably bet that.
Where does your Jason Tatum to lead series in 3 points made stand? 9-1.
He is not close. Going to hit that, I believe.
Not close. And then at the bottom, you have Jaylen Brown to have more rebounds than Daniel Gafford.
That one is, let's see. I've got a three-rebound lead. Got a three-rebound lead. Tip of the cap to a JVT for that one.
Just playing time, right? This is being on the court.
That was the whole handicap. It was that Jaylen Brown's going to be playing 40-plus minutes in every one of these games. And Daniel Gafford is at best going to be splitting time with Derek Lively. And then, I've been wrong on him every step of the way.
So I want to ask you.
Because right? Lively showed up last game.
You've been sitting, we sit next to each other here 5 days a week. And you're the one guy I haven't asked this of. And you're probably the first guy I should ask this of. Because I've asked it of JVT. I asked it of Drew. I've asked it of a bunch of NBA folks who have come on. And I start by saying, I'm looking at myself and saying, it is the postseason as a whole. We already established, again, losing teams in best of sevens here this year in the NBA playoffs have averaged 1.2 wins. Like, it has been, between the NHL and the NBA, it's been, from a non-betting standpoint, the least competitive playoffs we've ever seen. And in the NBA, it's like in spades, especially the conference finals and the finals. But I just think, from a handicapping standpoint, listen, I thought Denver was going to win it all. They're up 20 in the third quarter against the T-Wolves. They lose. I literally had to text Will Hill and Felica the other day. I was like, that did happen, right? This was just yesterday. I was like, the day before, I was like, that did happen. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. It's still surreal to me that it happened. So I thought Denver was going to win it all. Then I thought, what was my next thought? That the T-Wolves-Nuggets series was the NBA Finals, de facto NBA Finals. That clearly wasn't the case because the Mavericks wiped them off the court. And now the Mavericks getting destroyed by Boston. We had that segment a few weeks back, and I just retweeted it this morning, which was kind of you ever see that movie Gwyneth Paltrow? It was in Sliding Doors. You ever see that movie?
No, but I know what you're talking about.
The conceit of the movie is that our entire lives unwittingly, unknowingly change on the most random, brief choices or timing of things, right? If she enters the subway 10 seconds before she does, she runs into a person that she ends up marrying, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, right.
So for me, this was kind of the sliding doors of the NBA playoffs, where it just felt like if Denver doesn't gack a 20-point lead right Friday night, the last Friday night of the NBA regular season, to the Spurs when Wembanyama went off, and they end up as the number one seed, that means they would end up getting Dallas probably in round two. Does that matchup go completely differently? And so the NBA world, these playoffs, end up so much differently based on some random thing that happened on that Friday night to end the regular season. The other thing was Cleveland purposely tanking to play Orlando in the first round. What did that do? That means that instead of them playing it kosher, right, Philly doesn't end up playing Boston in round two based on those seedings. Who knows if Embiid doesn't get hurt? Who knows if Philly somehow takes out Boston? So it's like the sliding doors of the NBA playoffs. My question to you finally is, sorry for the run-up.
No, it is.
Is this the postseason of any sport where you've had the least grasp of?
I would say after the first two rounds, yes, because I think it's very... very much. I mean, the Eastern Conference was the Eastern Conference. Like, I don't know if there's too much to seize on there. It was so defined by injuries throughout that it was. I mean, really not all that interesting, not all that exciting, and really not all that close in the end. Now, how much does and I know you hit on this, a lot during on the show. Maybe the next day, I think it was, but Minnesota, Denver, right? Minnesota basically designed to beat Denver. Beats Denver, we all get hyped up on what Minnesota can be, not designed to beat some other teams out there. It's weird looking back now, where you're like, Dallas dismantled that team. And I still don't know that I fully understand it. And then what are we looking at in this NBA Finals? Like, Boston sweeps Indiana, yet Indiana has the Pacers are going to have given the NBA champions the biggest challenge they had, and they got swept. So
Haliburton got hurt.
And Haliburton got hurt.
But that was my comment the next day was, has the NBA become so hyper matchup driven that is the number one handicap of anything? Like, we can talk ourselves into other things, but ultimately it's like styles make fights, and that it was an adage for boxing. Mm-hmm. It has never been more true for the NBA.
Yep.
Here we are. Boston Celtics on the cusp of yet another championship in their glorified or their storied history. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next on the radio side. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.